Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Very pleased to have back with us at the Straight Talk table Mr. David Behan, city manager of Rock Hill, a job he had just told me he has held for 15 years, almost.
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 So I want you to tell about, you know, we got so many new people here in town, I don't even know who they all are. So I try to introduce people to other people via the radio. So tell everybody a little bit about your background, if you would.
So grew up in Rock Hill. My family moved here when I was in third grade, and dad was a minister, and mom worked at the church, and went to Sullivan Junior High School, not middle school. This is about while we were still down on White Street at the old building. And I guess between seventh and eighth grade years, or between eighth and ninth grade years, they moved to the new to the campus on Eden Terrace. And then, anyway, went graduated Northwestern in 82, and then Winthrop in 86, and Chapel Hill in 89, and back here August 21st, 1989, 31 days ahead of Hurricane Hugo.
Perfect timing.
Perfect timing. Bagley showed up 2 weeks later, so we both time ourselves with Hurricane Hugo.
Or can we tell stories about that? But go ahead.
But grew up on the finance side of the world and was made chief financial officer in 1999. And then assistant manager some years after that. And then when the job opened in 2010, became city manager in October 2010.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. So I thought it would be interesting, because I don't think most people have the slightest idea what a city manager form of government even means. What is that? I think I know, but I thought you, Professor, would explain this in a few minutes as to how it works.
So I take the chance to meet with all new and city employees. So we've got a new group that'll be starting Monday. And so I sit down for about 15 minutes with all of them, one at a time, and just to ask, you know, who they are and what brought them to the city. But I take the opportunity to explain to them the form of government that we operate under. And because most of them have never worked in government before, and they, like everybody, gets their idea of what, you know, how government operates based on television. And so Rock Hill operates under a city manager form of government. We've done so since 1915. We're one of the oldest forms like this in the nation. So just over 110 years now. And over the course of those 110 years, I'm only the 12th city manager ever.
Wow.
So we have a long history of managers that come and stay for long periods, which is good for the organization, good for the community.
Yeah.
So under city manager forms, the way it works is that all of our elected officials serve only part-time. So they hire a city manager, so the manager literally works for the city council, and then everybody in the organization reports to the city manager. So nobody in the organization reports to an elected official other than myself.
Right.
And so the thought being that, and the city manager form was created, I think, in 1913. Sumter, South Carolina, interestingly, was the first city to declare the city manager form at that time. And I think Rock Hill was the 34th or 36th city nationally to declare the city manager form. And there are thousands now that operate under that form of government. In the state of North Carolina, it's actually required. So cities are required to operate under the city manager form of government, because it's just recognized as just a better form of government. It's intended to be less political, more professional, bring more business-like attitude to the organization rather than a political attitude, if you will. So it's the responsibility of the city council under our form of government to set policy and to say what their expectations are for how the government's going to work. And then they basically hand that over to the city manager and the city manager's staff to then take that policy and put it into practice.
Yeah.
And so if people have problems or concerns or things like that, they can reach out directly to one of the professional members of our team. And not really, of course, they can call the elected officials, and that's fine. But they can call us, and then we can usually deal with whatever that issue, you know, in a way just like it would in coordinating with a business. And I tell people all the time, you got to remember, Rock Hill is, we own the electric system, we own the water and sewer system, we run and offer most sanitation services in the community. That's probably 85% of the revenues that we bring in are in those four businesses, and they're all customer focused businesses. And so around the city, you'll hear our people talk, we don't talk about citizens, we talk about customers.
Yeah.
And it's just a different mindset. And so I think we bring a real business mindset, I think, to how we do things and everything that we do. When I meet with the Inside Rock Hill group, I always get the opportunity to go first with them and explain to them, you know, who we are and what we do and why we do. And I always get a lot of blank looks in the room because people don't really understand how that works. But it's interesting, at the end of 10 weeks after they've been through that, they come back and they say, oh, I get it now. This is really the best way to do it. This is how everybody should do it. And matter of fact, I saw that Blythewood last week or a week before last voted to go from a strong mayor form to a city manager form.
I can't imagine running a governmental entity the size of Rock Hill or York County, for that matter, if you didn't have professional management. I mean, my God, how would elected officials who don't have the background that you all have running the city, how could they ever do it?
Yeah.
It would be a mess.
And typically the way it works is that most places would be under a strong mayor form. Charleston, for instance, operates under a strong mayor form. North Charleston operates under a strong mayor form. All the other big cities in South Carolina operate under a city manager form. So Columbia, Spartanburg, Greenville, Rock Hill, Florence, North Augusta, Myrtle Beach, they all operate under a city manager form. But in the strong mayor form, the strong mayor typically would hire someone like a city manager, and the mayor would delegate that response, not delegate, but he would have that person do what the mayor wants done. And that's how those work.
And it's interesting that at the beginning of every year, I guess during the winter months, you bring all the council together and you do this retreat, usually right here in Rock Hill someplace.
Yep.
And you get the input that you want from them. What do they want to see done? Here's what we have on the boards. Do you like it? Do you not like it? And that's how you move forward for the year.
Yeah, we started doing that in 2002, I think, and we've been doing it ever since. And you're right, we always do it here in Rock Hill, so we don't go places. It's really about doing the business of the people. And we give them an opportunity to say, you know what, we don't think we ought to be doing that anymore. Let's do something different.
Right.
And when they do that, we take it. And the good thing is we do it in January because we're preparing the city budget between January and June. And so we can take their ideas and try to figure out ways to accomplish it.
So let's talk about a few things that are on your to-do list. See if we can get through them.
We wake up with enough to do every day, that's for sure.
You know, I think everybody knows the story about the Carolina Panthers and the property they have, which is now the city of Rock Hill's property.
Right.
200-plus acres right there on I-77. Big, beautiful green field. Nice interstate exchange. Thank you, State of South Carolina. What's the status on that?
We get a lot of interest. I would tell you that people ask me a lot about what's going to be there. And I always tell them it's easier to answer what's not going to be there.
Ain't going to be a Buc-ee's. I've heard that many times.
Well, it's not going to be a bunch of distribution businesses. Mm-hmm. So a bunch of warehouses with trucks, you know, clogging up the interstate. So it won't be anything like that. It won't be apartments. It won't be a residential development. One of the first things after the whole thing got settled, I had a developer from Charlotte that came in. And he said he wanted to come and talk about a big plan he had for the site. I was like, great, happy to talk to anybody. He comes in, lays out this big plan that basically, he says, what we want to do, he says, we want to create another Riverwalk right here. And I let him talk for a little while, and I said, you know, this is nice. I mean, it's really a beautiful plan, but I already have a Riverwalk. I don't know why I would need another one of those. And so we continue to get a lot of interest. I think that council is most concerned about good-paying jobs for the site. I think they want to see the right thing develop on the site and not just the first thing that comes along. And so so we're getting, I think, the right kind of interest. Over the next, 6 to 12 months, I think you'll begin to see some things begin to unfold there.
Mayor Geddes makes it very clear that this is a once-in-a-generation opportunity.
Very true.
And you don't want to lose it. I mean, how often do you get 200 pristine acres right along the interstate that you can make what you want to make? And it's as you pointed out, it's an opportunity to really change the dynamics of Rock Hill. If you could bring a life sciences concept here, where you're bringing people who are scientific and the salaries are bigger, I mean, it's just going to raise everybody's level.
Right.
No doubt about it.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we got the Overlook. Now, swinging on to the other side of town, you have this very interesting project that I see every day when I go up and down White Street, and that's, I call it the annex to the Sports and Events Center. Seems to be coming along very well, but it has to be done here by the end of the year.
Yes, there are reasons not worth getting into, but have to do with tax credits as to why that project has to be done by the end of the year. And we had a meeting just yesterday, and I will tell you, and the mayor makes fun of me, but whenever they started this thing, I told the mayor, I said, I don't think you should have any expectation that they're going to finish on time. There are too many variables. There's too much stuff. I know how things go. There's just no expectation. I have no expectation that they're going to finish on time. We need to be prepared for contingencies for what we're going to do when they don't finish on time. Those guys are going to finish on time. They absolutely are. I asked my guy the other day. I said, it looks to me like they're totally dried in now, so it's just a matter of finishing. He said, unless there's some huge delay that we don't expect at this point, we should be fine. And so so they are going to get done. It will add everybody who comes to the Sports and Events Center on the weekends, all the rights holders who bring events, all tell us, basketball, volleyball, no matter who it is, if we just had a bigger space. And we tried to make it a bigger space on the site we were on. We were just confined. We couldn't make it any bigger than we were. So there'll be 4 more basketball floors. It'll be 8 more volleyball floors. And it'll be 12 pickleball courts that'll all be in there. Somehow they figure out a way to stripe the floors in a way that's not confusing. And I'm satisfied that they were able to do that.
And, of course, this brings back the whole conversation of how the city of Rock Hill has been able to do everything that it does. I mean, we started with Cherry Park, and, of course, I love that story.
Yeah.
It precedes me when there was a big discussion in the community about should we put a shopping mall there or put a park there. A couple people by the name of Melford Wilson and Doug Eccles lost their jobs on council because they voted for the park.
Yeah.
And here we are all these years later, and everybody loves the park. And as the mayor, former Mayor Eccles, used to say, I don't know how all this started, but it did. And we've got this sports tourism mecca that is generating all kinds of dollars for the city to enhance the facilities more and more and more. Mm. And this one's a perfect example. The annex is being paid 100% by hospitality tax dollars.
That's right. We have, when I became city manager in 2010, the economic impact of sports tourism in Rock Hill was about $9 million a year. So what people would come and when they would spend in restaurants, and that's not money the city would take in, but it was money that was spent in hotels and restaurants and shopping and all those kind of things. Yeah. So $9 million a year. Last year, the economic impact was $125 million. So that's the impact that sports tourism has in our community. It is a huge economic generator for us.
Last weekend's cornhole tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, that alone, by the estimates I think I heard on the air, close to $10 million.
Yeah, somewhere between that and $12 million. Yeah,
it's crazy.
But they're probably one of our biggest ones. Honestly, those folks come and they stay for a while and they're in the hotels, they're in the restaurants, spending their money.
And who would have ever thought that Rock Hill, South Carolina, would attract the names like Adidas and Nike? They love coming here and doing what they do. And I can't say enough about PRT. I mean, PRT set the table in terms of hospitality and how people are going to be treated.
I tell people we punch well above our weight when it comes to that kind of stuff. I mean, it really is. When we got the youth soccer national championships back in 2012, our guys beat out Boston and Kansas City for the right to bring that tournament here. So it's just everything they do is like that. And when we built the new arena, I told John Taylor at the time, I said, you know, the Peach Jam is the big basketball thing that goes on down in Augusta, North Augusta, during the summer. I said, we need something that rivals that. And about a year later, he came in and he says, we got it. So that's what brought Adidas in. And the coaches, they just love us. I know you got to go to break, but quick story. I was over there during the tournament, and I was coming down the backside, and they bring the coaches in the back. I was in a hurry, headed toward the kind of the hospitality area for coaches, and the door opens up, and in comes walking Tom Izzo from Michigan State basketball coach, and I about knocked him over. I ran into him, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. And he had an assistant coach with him. He said, it's fine. I said, and I turned back around, and I said, coaches, I'm David Vihan, city manager here in Rock Hill. Just want to let you know, we appreciate you being here. Again, I'm sorry. Anything you need, just let me know. And he said it's fine. And I turned and walk away, and I hear somebody go, and I hear him go, "Hey, city manager." And I turned around. And he said, "This is quite a place you got here." And I said, "Yes, sir. We're real proud of it." And it's not his first time here. He's been here before.
So you know, it makes you wonder in retrospect. And it's easy to be a Monday morning quarterback. Had you known then what you know now, in terms of what that layout was going to be at the old textile site, would you have done it any different? Would you, you know, maybe made the Sports and Events Center twice the size of this?
Maybe not twice the size, but we have 8 floors on the upper side. I would have liked to have gotten 10. When you put it there, you put the parking deck next to it, then the power plant was in the way.
Sure.
And so, and you just couldn't move things around. It had to be the size that it was, and so it's fine. I mean, it worked out great.
And nobody's complaining, no. For sure. All right, we're going to have to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Caporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Okay, anybody in Rock Hill who's been here for a while knows about what we're going to do here. We have our chorus over here. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it at the count of three. If you can read the white letters, join in. 1, 2, 3.
Slice.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Good fresh food, even fresher than Subway. And it's also on a paleo diet.
I like the people. I like the food and being picked on.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
We hope you'll choose The Nest to deliver your newest bundle of joy. The Nest is a new labor and delivery recovery postpartum unit at Piedmont Medical Center Fort Mill, working to make your pregnancy and childbirth experience as easy and enjoyable as possible. Our physicians and nursing staff at Piedmont are dedicated to giving expectant mothers the maternity care they want and need. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
We know the type. You like to start early, finish late, make lemon squares, and make payments to the college fund from anywhere in the house. We know you rely on Caporium for things you rely on most, like a view of the backyard. That's just a bunny, and hundreds of channels to watch, whenever you want. So you may think of us as just your internet company, but we're more like the I didn't know they could do all that company. Caporium, always ready.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
The food, the number 19 is the best.
When I want lunch, I come to Substation 2 because I can't remember never not coming here.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. City Manager for Rock Hill, David Behan, is with us today. We're going through a list of things. One of the big things that's going to really change the face of downtown, there's a lot going on in downtown. I mean, that's a whole list. The flyover bridge, the bridge. What is the status on this bridge that everybody's been talking about for quite a while?
Everything's still on track. The holdup that we have had and we continue to have is we're crossing the railroad, and it just holds everything up. The railroad is just very – any city manager in America will tell you that the hardest entity to deal with is the railroad. And then to make matters worse, it's a Norfolk Southern line, and Norfolk Southern's decided to do a merger with whoever it is. And so we're still just waiting to get that sorted, and because the railroad is concerned about people throwing things off into the rail line and all those kind of things. And, you know, in my mind, you can answer all those questions and tell us what to do in a month. In Norfolk Southern's mind, it takes a year to 18 months. So anyway, it's still happening. It's still a project that's ongoing, but we're going. At the old Herald site, matter of fact, I was on the phone with those guys yesterday. They have been working at getting their financing sorted out, but I think they're finally there, and I expect that they'll start construction there this fall.
Really? This, yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah.
And what is that project going to be? Because it's gone back and forth over the years.
Yeah, so it's closer to Main Street. It's about 300 apartments that end up there. There's a parking deck that goes there. I understand there's a financial institution of some kind that they have an agreement with that's going to build a building there. And I think they have kind of a retail restaurant kind of open spot that I don't know if they have anybody for yet. But and then some green space. And then there's also just, you know, the storyline is another thing that's happening, and they're working with us on that to make sure that as we cross Dave Lyle on either side, you're at the heart of the start of Rock Hill, where historically the city literally began. And so we want to make sure that we are paying attention to that with what we're developing with the storyline.
And very briefly explain to people what the storyline is all about.
So we began work on this several years ago. So essentially it is an opportunity to provide a connection from Fountain Park all the way to Winthrop. So really the oldest part of the city, and an opportunity to, we call it the storyline because if you've ever been to New York, you know, they converted their stuff into the High Line, which is a pathways where the trains used to run up above the city, and now it's, you know, it's really beautiful. Charleston is developing the low country low line. Miami has a similar thing. I can't remember what they call it. Atlanta has the Belt Line that you know, is a walking trail that's surrounding the inner city of Atlanta, and so this is an opportunity, the storyline for us to be able to tell not only the story of the past of Rock Hill, but the future of Rock Hill as well. And so this is not, I tell people all the time, it's not about the money we're going to spend. It's not about, this is not a big, huge financial investment, but it's more about making sure that we commemorate the things that we need to commemorate and we do it right. And so that doesn't necessarily take a lot of money to do. It takes some money to do, but this is not a tens of millions of dollars kind of project. It's just making sure that we've got the right people, the right stakeholders involved to make sure we're making the right decisions.
You know, one of the big projects that I guess is partially done or almost done, I don't know, is the Thread.
Yeah.
That's a huge project, huge project. And I remember when they did this quasi grand opening, they gave a lot of credit to actually the city for working with them over God knows how many obstacles they had to go through to open up that roof line.
Yeah.
So they had light and what have you. That project seems to be getting legs. I mean, it's got some, we're going to be, the RHEDC is going to have an event down there, I think, next week. They've got several retail businesses in there. But what else can you tell me is going on with that?
So there, I mean, it's a big space. I mean, it's hard to get your head around it. It's 400,000 square feet under roof that's over there. You can see it's really two buildings. So if you look at it, they've done the first building. They're just connected. And so the second building is is they have gone back and forth on their plans a little bit. I think that without giving too much away, I think that they are getting more confidence in the office space market, and so I think that there will probably be more emphasis on that, and to be sure they, and I think much like what we're doing at the Hutchison site on the interstate, they want to make sure they get it right, and so I think they're really focused on that. So I think they have some tenants that they'll be announcing soon.
Yeah, I think America is finally in a real post-COVID mode. People are going back to work, required to go back to work.
Right.
President of the United States made sure everybody comes back to work.
Yeah.
Comporium's back to work. You all are back to work. So the office market, I know, has taken a shellacking, and even in Charlotte.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got a lot of vacant space up there.
Yep.
But the indications are it's getting better. Okay, Southside, mm-hmm. big initiative. That's where a lot mm-hmm. of attention and focus has been. We have the new Southside Park, which is going to be developed, soon to be launched. What's the timetable on that?
I think you'll see some stuff this fall about plans for it, and it won't take long until dirt starts moving out there. The good news is that we own all the land for the most part anyway. And so that helps expedite things. Lots happening on the south side. The work that's done at McGirt Auditorium has been completed. If you haven't had a chance to see McGirt Auditorium at the Old Emmett Scott, it is unbelievable that what was done there to really fix that place up. New gym floor going in at Emmett Scott. While I'm mentioning Emmett Scott, they've got an old wooden floor there that's well past its life. And that new Perry Sutton and Derek Lindsay, we've worked with those guys. Worked with us hard to make sure that was done, and so a couple of guys hard to say no to.
That's a dynamic duo there.
So they, but that they'll start work on that floor, I think, week after next. But there's continuing on the south side, that the old down where the old Winn-Dixie was, which is if you've been here long enough, that's what we call it. But at the intersection of Saluda and Heckle, we've actually got plans in for something there, which I think could happen.
Good.
So we'll see. So I think there is, and really, if you take the time to really drive through those neighborhoods on the south end, you'll see they're scattered, but they're onesies and twosies, new housing that's going up all over the place.
Right.
So it's pretty exciting to see.
It just needs. It's kind of like what happened here on the White Street corridor. As soon as Gary Williams decided he was going to do something with the cotton factory, other pieces began to fall in place.
Yep.
And now we have a very vibrant corridor. But that was 25 years worth of one step forward, 10 steps back. I got it.
And that's a great point. You know, I tell people all the time, we seem to scratch and claw at everything that we get. But, you know, we refuse to say no, and we stay after it.
How's the city doing with employment in terms of vacancies? I mean, have we got them?
You know, we average about, I watch those numbers every week. We average, I would say, around 6% vacancy rate, which is not terrible.
No.
I think that we do a good job of building a good culture within our organization that people, you know, like what they do. They like coming to work.
Yeah. Very quickly, is there anything more to be said about the rec fees? I mean, I know I've seen everybody, what they're doing. I understand what they're doing. I didn't know whether there was any indication whether there might be a change in all of this.
Nothing that we've heard. You know, we had a system that worked well for 20 years. So I can't say anything more than that, except that the county walked away from it.
Yeah, okay. Well, David, thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Thanks for all that you and your team do down at the city of Rock Hill. It's a yeoman's task every day, I know. Thank you very much. And that is going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. All right, one more time here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. We hang out here every day. We do fresh subs and salads. We do it at 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it at the count of three, is the gang there? Okay, the doc has arrived. We're all set to go. The count of three. One, two, three.
Slice.
Now that's the way it should be done. Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.